Hey, it's Beginner's Puck, a hockey podcast for hockey fans both new and old. So, Erica, congratulations on the Oilers clinching a playoff spot.
Woohoo! I am so happy. There was much jubilation. Even at work this morning, like several of my coworkers and I were standing around and like reliving the glory. And one of my coworkers was there in the building and said it was unbelievable. He said it was so loud, like his eardrums were rattling at an almost uncomfortable level because there was so much noise in that building.
And if our listeners don't know this by now, you actually do live in Edmonton, like not that far from Rogers Place, right?
That's correct. Yeah, it's about a 20-25 minute walk from home. So anytime I go to a game there, I just walk down. I don't have to worry about traffic. It's awesome.
And I saw on Twitter that people were like honking in the streets. Yes. And it was jubilation was had by all.
Yep, it was great. The whole city is starting to come alive.
Well, it's been a dry spell, right? Like, how long has it been since you guys were in the playoffs?
We don't want to talk about that, Deb. We certainly don't want to relive the fact that we have the record for the longest time missing the playoffs, 11 years, I believe. Yeah, it's been a lot. Actually, I haven't even been a fan long enough to remember the Oilers in the playoffs. And it's worth pointing out that even when the Oilers were in the playoffs the last few times, they squeaked in. Like, there was no waltzing in and clinching a playoff berth with six games left, or however many games we have left to go at this point. It's been like 20-25 years since the Oilers have been as dominant as they are now. I mean, we've been floating at, you know, 2-3 in the division for most of the season, which is bonkers.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got Connor McDavid, savior.
And, we do.
And everything is sort of like coming together now. Things are gelling. People are playing nicely together. But you said something interesting, and I think we need to explain that to maybe our new hockey listeners, because you said that the Oilers clinched a playoff spot because the season's not over. We still have like 6-7 games, depending on where you stand on the league. So how are they locked in for a playoff spot?
This is where math comes into it, because there's a lot of math in sports. Don't let anybody tell you different, especially when it comes to stats nerding. But this you don't even have to be a stats nerd. You can just listen to the talking heads tell you what it means. And that is that it is now mathematically impossible for the Oilers to drop down so low that they lose a spot in the playoffs. So basically the team, as of the game last night where they clinched the spot, the LA Kings were the next team down below them in the standings in the Pacific Division. So even if the Oilers had lost every single game after this point, and the Kings had won every single game, right now, the Oilers would not drop out of a position of being in the playoffs. So it still remains to be seen where the Oilers will actually finish in the division. I mean, we maybe will take first place. I don't know. I'm knocking on all the wood right now. But depending on where they land, it's going to be a different playoff experience, and the place that they land in the standings is going to depend on how many games they win for the rest of the season, and of course how many games the other teams in the Pacific Division win for the rest of the season. So all the math.
Yeah, and there's like websites out there that have all of this calculated out with statistical percentages of like what the percentage is of your team getting into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And it's gorgeous. There's spreadsheets and there's math, and it just, I don't understand all of it yet. I'm working on it, but it just, like, I just, if I had a tail, I'd wag it. It just makes me so happy that there's all this number crunching out there. My team, the Flyers.
I'm sorry,
they haven't
Deb.
Been declared. I know. They haven't been declared dead yet because statistically, they still, according to the websites, you know, they still have like a 0.002% chance of making it to the playoffs. So while there's still a chance, they can't be declared completely out of it. But unless every other team above them gets hit by an asteroid, there's no way.
The great hockey asteroid of 2017.
Right. like the dinosaurs wiped from the earth. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So unless, you know, some cataclysmic event comes and knocks out all of these other teams, they're not, they're done. They're toast. They're done. Mm-hmm. And Dallas Stars, my secondary team, they were knocked out this past weekend. So, yeah. But there was an upside. There was an upside to that because one of the big hockey narratives this past weekend was the Ben versus Ben game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Jordy Ben got, who is Jamie, the captain of the Dallas Stars, is Jamie Ben. His brother Jordy Ben has only ever played hockey professionally with Jordy. They've been on the same team for like 5 or 6 years. Well, Jordy Ben got traded to the Montreal Canadiens, which, you know, good for him, an original six team that's at the top of their league or division, excuse me. Mm-hmm. But they had to play each other on Saturday. And it was really close as to whether losing against Montreal, because let's face it, the Dallas Stars have been really bad. If that loss would have knocked them out of the playoff run completely. Oh, and everybody's like, oh, how horrible would that have been? But thankfully, they got kicked out a day earlier. So
yay?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, yay with a question mark behind it. So that didn't, his brother didn't have to knock him out. So now Jamie can cheer for the Montreal mm-hmm. Canadiens to win.
Wow, it's like the Civil War, brother fighting brother.
I know. And there was like all these pictures over the weekend, you know, of them together and
in their separate uniforms. That was a little harsh.
That was a little rough, but yeah, it was not a good game. I turned it off to watch, I think, the Florida. Mm-hmm. I guess it was the Panthers play the Leafs. So, yeah, there was a lot of hockey happening yesterday. Mm-hmm. A lot of stuff going on. But it's kind of sad, like when your team gets knocked out.
Oh, believe me, I understand. Really. That's although I suppose coming into becoming an Oilers fan in the midst of this ridiculous drought that is now over, yay! I didn't ever really expect my team to make the playoffs. Although I do sort of remember especially last year, which was the first season with Connor McDavid. There were a lot of people around town who were hoping that it would happen and that would be the year they'd turn it around, and they missed it. So I think hope is the most dangerous thing you can have in sports, because then the disappointment cuts so much deeper.
That's right. So when you're really bad, mm-hmm. it hurts for a while, and then you just kind of let it go. And I'm actually kind of in a really good place right now.
Oh, good.
Because, well, you know, for a while, like it stung, and I had to sort of retreat to Tumblr and look at Mitch Marner GIFs, which is sort of the hockey version of like Daily Kitten.
As you do.
It's just like this goofy kid who just loves hockey and it's has these adorable GIFs. So, yeah, so there was a little bit of that sort of wallowing, but then I'm not choosing to think of it as my team or teams are out of it, but it's an opportunity to play the field.
Ooh, I like this.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, we've talked about our polyhockerous relationships. And it's like, so you get to take your hockey husband to the wedding, right?
I do. Mm-hmm.
And it's so sweet and wholesome. Mm-hmm. And it's like you're kind of building this legacy. And meanwhile, I get to be like that bridesmaid who's like four glasses of Prosecco in, and I'm eyeing up the groomsmen and wondering who's going to get lucky tonight.
I like this analogy. I like where it's going.
Right. You know, mm-hmm. so like there's no commitment here. You're just looking for a good time, clear eye, clear hearts. We both know it's just a temporary thing. We're good with it. So yeah, that's kind of where I am. And it's kind of exciting. So, you know, looking at the wild card race and seeing who's coming close. And, you know, I think I have an idea of who I'll be cheering on, but I think I need to let the boys spin around a little bit more before I decide who's mm-hmm. Mr. Right Now, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
A little more auditioning going on.
See how they strut in their tuxes, so to speak.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So to speak. So how are they handling themselves mm-hmm. up until this last playoff run? Because in the Eastern Conference, like it's still any place anyone goes for that bottom wild card mm-hmm. slot. I mean, I think New York Rangers are locked in, but there's a lot of contenders for that final spot.
Yeah, so. I mean the Atlantic. I'm looking at the standings right now, and the Metropolitan Division. The three teams that are in first, second, and third right now have all clinched. They have the coveted X next to their names.
Yes.
That's how they do it on NHL standings. X-Washington at the top. But then you look at the Atlantic Division, and all three of the teams at the top, none of them have clinched yet because they're so closely tied up. It's really exciting.
I know. It is very exciting. So yeah, so I got to wait to see what the final lineup is, and then I'll throw my allegiance in for Mr. Right Now. Mm-hmm. Not Mr. Right, but Mr. Right Now.
Here, here.
So yeah, so that's been exciting. It's been exciting. I thought the playoffs would be really fun, but the wild card race has been just as much fun, uh-huh, because there's so much on the line. Like, teams are just throwing themselves at this, and of course people are getting injured, and it's just, oh,
mm-hmm, yeah,
the bodies that's along the wayside. Yeah, it's really not. But there's some other things, interesting things that happened this week. Did you see all the USA women's team news that,
mm-hmm, I saw
has
it,
been rolling across Twitter?
Yeah, I sort of saw it
media.
Slide past my Twitter, and I saw a headline and was just like, oh, thank goodness. And yes. I've been working like 9-hour days. So then I was just kind of like, okay, head back down. But
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they finally came to an agreement. The terms are they've leaked out. I don't think they've specifically said or have officially released the terms, but it seems to be much, much more equitable. There's parity in travel and insurance benefits and that kind of thing, which is huge. Mm-hmm. They're creating a sort of an advisory board to USA Hockey for the women's leagues, which I think is really important. The women have a voice in that. Mm-hmm. More development. So it wasn't. And everybody's like, oh, women, they shouldn't be paid more. Nobody watches them. But really, like, the money was definitely an aspect of it. But it was all these other things that were so much more important as they try to develop. So it was really great to see that and to see the unity that these women had. Because, man, USA Hockey was scraping the barrel trying to field another team. And just nobody was saying yes. I mean, they were reaching out to high school students.
I know. That is so ridiculous. And I just, huge, huge thumbs up to the solidarity that everybody has shown. I loved seeing all of the Twitter reactions from people who had been asked by USA Hockey, women who had been asked to come and play in lieu of the actual team, and, them posting pictures of themselves, holding signs, and just saying, nope, I can't remember the exact line. I'm standing with them today, so... something tomorrow.
Yes, yeah,
it was very like poetic, and I'm sorry I forgot it.
Yeah, it was really great. They really were so precise and on message. Like, they did their homework. They did this exactly at the right time where they'd have the most leverage to open negotiations, because they've been trying to do this for years and just nothing was moving forward. So they definitely handled themselves extremely well. And I think it's just, the sport's only going to grow and get better. And actually they're playing, we're recording this on a Wednesday night. It'll probably come out on Thursday. So as you're listening to this right away, the Worlds actually start on Friday. So we'll put a link to that up there too. So I really do hope that everybody who jumped on this sort of social justice aspect of it, actually gets out there and supports,
yes,
the women's teams and help grow the sport. So
absolutely. And we recognize that it's not always an easy thing, because the games are harder to find, but they are certainly worth seeking out. And I know as a Canadian, as you might guess, many of the commercials that you see during sports are hockey related commercials, and lots of them feature many young children, which is kind of adorable, because little kids on hockey skates or running around playing street hockey is really cute. And in pretty much all of those commercials, there are as many little girls as there are little boys. And it just, I know that Canada's program has been stronger on a lot of the things than Team USA's has, but it's still, I'm from the United States, so I see little girls and I just think, little girls from North America, and now a good chunk of them have a better shot in the future, and I'm just so happy about that.
Yeah, I know, because at that level, like, we're telling these little girls, like, yeah, let's play the sport, it's a great sport. And then, the one article that talked about the development of two players, Austin Matthews being the male player, and I don't remember the name of the female player, Mikhail, I think, something, and just their development and how much USA Hockey was invested in Austin Matthews' development. Of course, he was the number one draft pick last year. Mm-hmm. And everything that the female player did, she had to do on her own, like with her parents paying for her to fly to Pittsburgh to play on a team.
Yeesh.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was just ridiculous in the difference. So, yeah, so those little girls out there in those commercials and the ones you see and during the intermission shows at NHL games, yeah, it's good to see that they'll get a better opportunity.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Oh, what else? I saw some live hockey this weekend. That was fun.
That's right. You got to go to a game. I'm so jealous.
I got to go to a game. And it was... you know, being a new hockey fan, I think every new hockey fan goes through this idea of, I want to visit every arena in the NHL. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a new goal. It's not a new bucket. There's so many people do this thing. So, of course, being a bandwagon jumper that I am, I said, yes, I want to do this as well. Thankfully, living, you know, in Philadelphia, I'm within 6 hours of a bunch of different teams.
Yeah, so I have to drive 3 hours to get to the next closest one. And I've been working on this goal for a couple years now.
This is why you need to come visit and stay with me. Mm-hmm. Because in a week, you could like knock through a ton of teams, like eight teams.
That
it's
is
ridiculous.
A great idea.
I think it's a great idea. And then we could live podcast.
Woo-hoo.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I drove up to Newark, New Jersey, and to see the New Jersey Devils play the Dallas Stars, which I was kind of looking for, you know, I wanted to see the Dallas Stars play. When they were in Philadelphia, like, my schedule didn't align, and it just never worked out. So I wanted to kind of see them before the season was over, but, you know, sadly, Patrick Sharp wasn't playing because he's out having had surgery yesterday, which is season-ending surgery. You know, a lot of players have been traded in the interim since I put this on my calendar. So, and let's face it, these two teams are not good. It was not fantastic hockey, but there's no bad hockey, realistically. Mm-hmm. And I got to take a girlfriend with me who I'm slowly bringing her into the fold. I was sitting next to some great New Jersey Devil fangirls, and she was introducing some of her friends to hockey. So nice. It was just a really fun row of a bunch of women hockey fans just getting loud and, yeah, having a good time. So that was fun. The other thing I had in my notes of what happened this weekend, Minnesota Wild is doing something kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this?
I saw a picture on Twitter of the jerseys that they will be wearing for their practice or their warm-up on April 4th. Throwbacks to the North Stars jersey, which is...
Yeah, that's a little
controversial.
A little controversial. I figured it probably hit your radar because your spouse has a jersey problem.
Yeah, well, he's recovering, sort of. He doesn't buy them anymore. but yeah, there are still like 150 jerseys in my apartment right now, which is nice when we go to a live game because then we can usually both wear the jersey of whichever team we're cheering for because he's got them all. Oy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's you know, that's not normal, right?
Oh, there are so many things about him that are not normal. So yeah, that's just added to the list. In a good way. Obviously, I love him. I married him and moved to Canada for him.
But before
I moved to Canada, I lived in Wisconsin, which is right next door to Minnesota, home of the Minnesota Wild, my least favorite hockey team name. Previously, Minnesota had the North Stars for many, many years. And in 1993, the North Stars left Minnesota and moved south to Dallas and became the Dallas Stars. I still maintain they should have called themselves the South Stars because I just think that would have been funny. But sadly, I'm not in charge of hockey. So anyway, Minnesota was without a hockey team for about 7 years. I think it was 2000-2001 was the season that the Wild joined the crew with, I think, the Columbus Blue Jackets joined the league at the mm-hmm. same time. So yeah, they are now celebrating 50 years of hockey. Or is it 50? Is it 100? Which celebration is it that Minnesota is doing this for?
You know something? I think that is a perfect segue into a new segment.
It's new segment time. Woo!
So, Erica, are you ready for a new segment?
Hashtag old hockey.
Old hockey. The hockey history that isn't essential to know, but will impress your friends and family. So, honestly... Old hockey, we decided to come up with this old hockey idea because I was listening to an episode of Marek Wyszynski, and they were talking about what do you think is essential for new hockey fans to know. And they started digging up this really esoteric stuff about one of the lockouts and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I thought, well, that's deep diving a little bit for a new fan. I think you kind of have to, I think you have to build that pyramid base a little broader
mm-hmm.
because there's just things that people say that they expect hockey fans to know. Like in the previous segment, we talked about Original Six.
Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned the Minnesota Wild was celebrating 50 years of hockey, and you mentioned the centennial. So I think this is a good time to let's start talking about some old hockey, because this year the NHL is celebrating its centennial. And if you watched, and I'm sure you've seen it too up in Canada, if you've seen any live hockey game, there's been commercials about this, you know, and Stanley Cup and it's just there's a lot of nostalgia happening right now. They're doing a little tour with this sort of a bus that goes around all the different arenas with memorabilia and things. But hockey history is really convoluted, as you alluded to earlier in talking about the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, and that's one of the more straightforward, one team moved to one place once there. Although that doesn't really give you all the story about the Wild or the Stars, but we don't need to dig that deeply. Because like with many sports, almost every team has a lot of movement like that. But not every team, as Deb said, original six.
And it's funny because the original six aren't all 100 years old. And this is where it's a little bit confusing, because the NHL is celebrating its 100th anniversary, but the NHL as we know it actually didn't really come into existence 100 years ago. Some teams did. Mm-hmm. But in 1942, everything coalesced into what we now consider the original six and sort of the base of the NHL. Up until that point, there was a lot of smaller teams. So like in 1917, when when we think about the beginning of hockey, it's the inaugural NHL season. So you had four teams. It was the Montreal Canadiens, who were still in existence. Mm-hmm. The Montreal Wanderers.
I love
the
that
original
name.
I know. Like, why don't they have that anymore? That is such a good name. Mm-hmm. It's better than the Canadiens.
Yeah, sorry.
The original Ottawa Senators, who were not the Ottawa Senators that we know now.
Convoluted.
And the Toronto Arenas. And from 1917 until 1942, it was just a hot mess of little teams being created and then folding and merging and doing all sorts of stuff. But in 1942, we saw the folding of the Brooklyn Americans, which was our Brooklyn hockey team. And it ushered in the era of the original six. So why don't you tell everybody what the original six teams were? Because that was it until we had the expansion in 1967.
This is where we get to names that might sound more familiar to you if you pay any attention to hockey or sports things. Probably you hadn't heard about the Wanderers before, but I'm guessing some people may have heard of the Boston Bruins, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Detroit Red Wings, the Montreal Canadiens, the New York Rangers, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. All of those teams are still in existence, so that is why they are considered the original six, because they have all existed since 1942 at least.
Right. So, like, I think the Montreal Canadiens, they say they were founded in 1909. They became part of the NHL in 1917. So, actually, Montreal and Toronto were the oldest teams in the NHL. And
Toronto
Boston
will not let you forget it. Just saying.
No, they will not. They are really good about... Well, you know, if you have a chance, do go on their website and look in their videos, because they put together a gorgeous season's ticket pass for this year that just has historic players, and it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. So I can't fault them for
I mean, if you've got that kind of history, celebrate it and flaunt
it. Right. So then the Boston Bruins came in 1924, Chicago 1926, Red Wings 1926, and New York Rangers 1926.
Yeah,
and until 1967 until 1967, that was it. That was the NHL. That was the entirety of the NHL. So that's a pretty big stretch of time. Mm-hmm. And then we had our first expansion in 1967, in which we had, how many teams came in 1967? I know the Flyers did, because we've been wearing some snazzy jerseys. In 1967, the Pittsburgh Penguins came in 1967. I'm pulling this up. The expansion years. Oh my gosh, this whole thing is a mess.
It is. It's just. It's more kind of ridiculous because
It gets because then you have there was another hockey league that sort of came in the Western Hockey League. So
yes, which is where the great one Wayne Gretzky first got started. He actually played in the WHL before he played here.
So it is, it's a messy thing. So there's teams that are no longer in existence that are much beloved. St. Louis Blues came in 1967 too, I believe. The California Seals are a team that are sort of have achieved mythological, sort of like Shoeless Joe, you know.
Also one of the great, great jerseys of all time. The California, or the California Golden Seals, I guess, to be specific. Convolution again.
Yeah. And then, you know, there was two teams in Atlanta that never made it. So the Flames and the Thrashers that ended up going other places.
To Canada.
To Canada. Yeah, they went to Canada.
Migrating north.
And Quebec lost a team. So it's... The history of the NHL is not in a straight line by any stretch of the imagination. And I think at some point it would be really fun to like take one of these really convoluted teams and sort of parse all of their parts, as you did a little bit with the Minnesota Wild and North Stars and the Dallas Stars, because these teams have gone back and forth from Canada to the States. They've merged. You've had teams come together and do things. But original
The Oilers, along with Wayne Gretzky, came in from the WHA, actually, not WHL. They were a team in the WHA, and eventually when the WHA kind of folded, I believe that was when they got scooped up into the NHL. So you've got teams coming in from all over the place.
Yeah, it's bonkers. So I think we'll definitely do that. But I think when you hear the original six, this is what people are talking about. And there is a certain level of prestige involved, I think, with that, because I know we talked a little earlier about Jordy Benn being traded to Montreal Canadiens. And that's when the first thing he said, you know, I'm so thrilled to be here. It's an original six teams because they have so much history. Mm-hmm. Not all of it's great, but it's very storied. And there's a lot of history that goes along with that. So I think there is a little bit of cachet. When you're drafted by one of those teams, it just feels like you're stepping into something bigger than, say, an expansion team that's only been around for 20 years or so.
That's true. And when you talk to fans of any of the original six teams, there's a good chance that they will sort of maybe look down their nose at you if you are rooting for a team that is not the original six, especially if it's a newer team or from the South. So there does tend to be a little bit of a gatekeeping sort of nature to that. So if you decide you want to be a fan of a newer team or a team from like the Southern United States, just be ready to kind of toss your hair and turn away when people try to give you crap about their beloved original six team, because honestly, there's a lot of history and that's really cool, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't be a fan of another team. And they, you know,
absolutely. And actually the whole history of like the Sun Belt teams is really cool to think about, because, you know, hockey in Florida, hockey in Arizona, which that program just grew, like we talked about earlier, Austin Matthews. You know, these are not traditional hockey markets. So what these teams had to go through to establish a base, or in some cases really still trying to establish a base, is pretty astonishing. So I think that would be a fun segment to talk about at one point too. Hockey history is fun.
It really is. It's fascinating stuff.
It is very fascinating. You don't really need to know it. I mean, let's be honest.
Nope.
But it's sort of like Doctor Who. If you've never seen any classic Who, that's fine. But if you do, it enriches your idea. If you've only ever seen the new Star Trek movies, that's cool. But if you know some original Star Trek, it just makes that experience so much better. Yep. Hockey history works that way too, I think. Right?
Totally. It totally does. Yep.
Yeah. So now you know, so people today have learned about clinching and statistics. And
we even brought Doctor Who into it. Actually, come to think of it, the Minnesota Wild, their tribute to the North Stars for the celebration of, you know, 50th anniversary of the NHL hockey in Minnesota, is kind of like celebrating the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who when it was off the air for so long, because Minnesota had no team for 7 years.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And there's people that have lost or areas that have lost their team that desperately would like to have one. Quebec is one. Like they would, they've been trying to get a team since the Nordiques left for just, they're That's craving it.
They have a great arena.
Thirsty for it. Yeah. Just can't get the team. So I think that's about it. I think it's about all the hockey we can talk about. There's so much more coming up with the wild card race.
Yes. Oh, it's so exciting.
But we did And maybe we should mention that we did actually record an episode in between this one and our last beginner's pod.
We did. And I think to bridge the gap between between this and that, I would like to do my little tidbit before the very ending of the show. And that is that this week's tidbit is my complete and sheer joy over the existence of a team. It's not an NHL team. It's the Orlando Solar Bears. And one of my favorite things is just to look at teams from leagues that are different. So this is from the ECHL network. And the Orlando Solar Bears in Orlando have one of the best logos, one of the best worst logos ever. It's like a polar bear with sunglasses holding a hockey stick like over his shoulders behind his neck with a sun behind him. It is just ridiculous, and it's gorgeous, and I love it. So I am happy about the existence of the Orlando Solar Bears. Yep.
Now, the ECHL is Premier AA Hockey, mm-hmm. which is a step below AHL, which is the American Hockey League. And the NHL has been trying to take all of these leagues and teams and things, and we talked about this, and we talked about our movie, the episode that we're going to talk about soon, in Goon. Mm-hmm. They sort of had taken all these teams that were in their own leagues independent and created this farm system. Mm-hmm. So an NHL team will typically have an AHL team, American Hockey League team, that works as its farm team. And then that team will have an ECHL team in some cases that acts as their farm team system. So the Solar Bears are two steps down from the NHL, but they do have a banging logo.
Yep, they totally do. So that is the thing that I am excited about this week. But another thing I'm excited about is, once again, since we're squeaking in at the very, very end of March here, this is the time of year when we remind all of you guys how you can support our podcast. And, you know, we are loving doing this podcast and have really appreciated all of the support on Twitter and just, you know, the feedback that we've gotten. But it would also be very nice and make it easier for us to keep going if you were decide to support this podcast monetarily by becoming a member of the Incomparable Podcast Network. You can sign up for a monthly or annual pledge to support our podcast directly. So all you have to do is go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. When you're there, they will ask you to pick the shows on the network that you want to support. All you have to do is check the little box next to Beginner's Puck, and your entire contribution will come to us after a few fees are taken out. If you do listen to other podcasts on the Incomparable Network, you can also check their boxes, and then your contribution just gets divided equally between all of the shows that you want to support. And as a special, super duper special thank you for supporting us, members receive extras, including exclusive bonus audio, a live bootleg feed of The Incomparable, and a members only Slack group where we talk about hockey a lot. And since this is pledge season, many of the shows on the network have actually posted bonus episodes just for members. I think we were up to like at least a dozen. And one of those bonus episodes for members is from us. As Deb mentioned, we talked about Goon. We brought on Lisa Schmeiser, who is another Incomparable cohort from Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies. And we talked about Goon, which is a delightful, heartwarming, violent, and bloody movie. So
oddly enlightened.
Yeah, really. It really was.
Gender issues.
Mm-hmm. So if you are interested in that, become a member, and you can check that out. And yes, there are contribution levels at $5, $10, and $20 per month. Annual equivalents are available as well. If you happen to already be a member of The Incomparable, it's really easy to increase your pledge to a higher level, get some special goodies in return. So if you would like to support us, if you would like to support women talking about hockey and trying to bring new fans into the fold to join us, please go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you. And honestly, rec us to like your lady friends, because we would love to see more women being involved in the world of hockey fandom. Mm-hmm. We know they're out there. I was sitting next to a bunch of them, the Dallas Stars game. I had to open that conversation up a little bit. And if you think about it and are so inclined, please do consider leaving us a review on iTunes, because that's how people tend to find new podcasts.
Yes, indeed.
Particularly non-traditional podcasts.
Yes, which we totally, totally are. So yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you all so much for listening to Beginner's Puck. And remember, Hockey is for everyone, especially you. Beginner's Puck is a Castria production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at Beginner's Puck, email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com, or leave a comment at theincomparable.com/puck.